We have just one verse tonight that I want to focus on. It's found in Proverbs 29. Proverbs, Psalms, and then Proverbs 29. This is one verse. It is a proverb with a profound and solemn truth in it. And God has led me to this one verse. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Isn't that a solemn verse? Let me read it again. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I don't know how many of you would remember a war film made in 1977, which was called A Bridge Too Far. A Bridge Too Far. It was directed by Richard Attenborough. There was Dick Bogarde in it, and Michael Caine, and Sean Connery, and some of these big actors' names. The story was a true story of the Bridge Too Far. And the story goes that the British troops in World War II, about 1944, I think it was, they had got so far, and they had the upper hand in the land war in Europe. But instead of stopping, instead of consolidating where they were, they went a bridge too far where they met their end. They decided that they would send a parachute force in to take a bridge that went between the Netherlands and into Germany, one of the main artery routes. And they thought, if we could get that bridge, if we could get that bridge, if we held that territory, well, then we would have the upper hand. And they went a bridge too far, and they suffered in the end. And in our lives, we can think of illustrations where people went a bridge too far. I think of businesses who do well, they achieve a lot, and then they get overstretched and they decide to build bigger premises or to buy bigger premises and take on new staff. And they go a bridge too far, and they suffer the consequences whenever a recession hits. Or maybe gambling, and someone wins a bet and they get the scent of the win and they're feeling lucky, and they think that somehow Lady Luck is on their side, and they go a bridge too far and they lose it all. Or I've heard of an athlete who was training, indeed became addicted to training, and the adrenaline that exercise produces. But this athlete, a lady, she went a bridge too far, and she pulled her hamstring, the tendon that goes in the back of the leg from the knee to the thigh, and she damaged that and had to give up her athletics. She went a bridge too far. Our verse tells us tonight that it is possible for men and women and young people in Bali Baptist Church who attend the services, maybe started off at Sunday school and the Good News Club, maybe came to Bible studies and Bible classes and youth club and SALT and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, maybe been at every night of the mission, it is possible that they come week by week and they hear the gospel and they harden their hearts and they stiffen their neck against God, and it's possible to go a bridge too far. A bridge too far. I wonder, is that you tonight? I wonder if you heard the gospel so many times and you're just pushing it one more time. And you're saying, well, I'll be all right, and I'll come in my own time, and now's not the right time. And I don't know who you are. God knows. And God has sent me with a message for those tonight who harden their heart, who leave Sunday by Sunday not saved. Maybe you're sitting in this service and you sense the presence of God, but when you hit the cold night air in the car park, all those spiritual realities seem to fade away. There's maybe times you've sat in exactly the same spot as you're sitting in right now. And you could imagine, as the preacher preaches, you can imagine the Savior almost visible in your mind's eye. And you see him dying, bleeding at Calvary because of your sin. And you can picture it and you can sense it. And there's something very poignant about it. And you seem to hear him call your name. But you turned and walked away. I have a message for you from God tonight. The first thing I want you to notice in our text in Proverbs 29 verse 1 is the privilege. It says that he being often reproved. That's a privilege. May some people only hear the name of Jesus once. They never hear it again. Maybe only once do they have a chance to hear the gospel. And yet, I'm reminded in this text that you have been often reproved. Not once or twice, but often God has spoken. Maybe spoken through illness. Maybe spoken through bereavement. And you've known those heartache times when the curtains are pulled and people are just breaking their heart and the tears are flowing. Maybe an accident. Maybe difficulties and circumstances. Maybe you were spoken through your children and they challenged you as they came in from the children's meeting. Maybe spoken to by a spouse or your parents and you said, stop nagging me. I don't want to hear it. I'll come in my time. I'm doing my own thing. And you told them to be quiet. Often reproved, maybe spoken to by friends. I say again, many people do not have such a privilege. Many have never heard the name of Christ once. And whenever I have the occasion to be out in India, there's many villages you go to and they've never heard the name of Jesus. They've never heard it, even in a swear word, they've never heard it. It's a foreign concept to them. They're steeped in Hinduism with thousands of gods and goddesses and all the rest of it. And they've never had such a privilege. And here you sit in another gospel meeting, hearing of God's love. We've been singing about it tonight. And we could sing many more choruses. There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall. All the choruses about his love and his mercy and his grace. And you know of the danger and you know of the dilemma of sin. You know of the provision of a Savior to cleanse from sin. You understand his death for you at a Roman cross. And yet some feel no conviction. Some feel no sense of guilt. Some feel no concern, no fear of eternity, no fear of God. Dear friend, what you do tonight in church is a privilege. I firmly believe that the day is fast approaching that what I do in a public domain will be deemed a hate crime. I believe that as we get nearer the end days with the Charities Commission and with scrutiny with political correctness, I believe that they will try to silence the preaching of the gospel. And you maybe won't get the opportunity that you have tonight to hear the gospel. Don't take it for granted. Support the preaching of the gospel. Because the day could come fast when it's no longer heard in the public arena. It's a privilege. Notice secondly, not only the privilege, but the patience. It says, he being often reproved, the patience of God. He just keeps on challenging. He keeps on convicting. He still calls, he still reproves, he still reaches out to you. He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want you to go to hell and the lake of fire. He wants you to be saved. And God is more patient than anyone else on the face of the earth. He's patient with men and women like you. But I tell you reverently and soberly, even God's patience can wear out. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 1. Don't need to turn to it. Just let me read these three verses to you. Proverbs 1 verse 24. God is speaking to the nation of Israel. Here's what he said. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And God is saying in that passage that even the God of patience, even God who reproves and reproves and reproves again, there can come a point when God's patience runs out. And you will never again be concerned. You'll never again be worried about hell and judgment. You'll never be concerned about your sin. And dear friend, can I ask you, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting until you're older? Are you waiting until you really, really, really need him on your deathbed? I tell you that even tonight, you could push the patience of God too far, a bridge too far. And you'll never again be concerned, never again be worried. You might call, and God will not answer. It says in Proverbs 1:27, then 27-28, when your fear cometh as desolation, when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And the Bible is telling us time and time again that you can push the patience of God too far, a bridge too far. Even in our meeting tonight, the patience of God. If I had time this evening, we could look at a lot of different examples. We could think of Sodom and Gomorrah there in Genesis 19. They went a bridge too far. God says, I'm bringing destruction. And he destroyed the cities of the plain. We could think, if we wanted a Pharaoh, there in Egypt in Exodus 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. And how he was challenged time and time again by Moses, the servant of God. And Pharaoh went a bridge too far. God brought destruction on the nation of Egypt. We could think of Eli's sons, couldn't we? Do you remember those boys of Eli, the prophet, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 3 and 4? Those two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, and they pushed God too far. They went a bridge too far, and God struck them dead in the battlefield. And the ark of God was taken. We could think of Judas Iscariot, couldn't we? My, he was a privileged man. He heard the message. He walked with the Savior. He knew the Lord Jesus intimately inside out, and yet he went a bridge too far. And he ended up committing suicide. Tell me, are you pushing the patience of God? Some people don't do patience. We now have fast food, but it's not fast enough, so you have some people ring up to their order so they don't have to wait for the fast food and they just have to collect it because the fast food's not fast enough. And coffee, instant coffee. Now we have coffee makers, Keurig or whatever they call them, the wee pods of coffee, and they're quicker than the instant coffee and you get your fix all the quicker. and our smartphones. We have all the information we need at the press of a button. And if we don't have Wi-Fi, we're all annoyed because we can't get the information we want. We don't do patience. Tell me, is God being patient with you? Are you going to push him too far? A bridge too far? And all of a sudden God says, time up, time up. Notice something else in our text. Not only the privilege and the patience, notice the passion. And I'm not thinking about the passion of God, because the passion of God is to redeem a people. The passion of God is to save to the uttermost all who come to him in repentance and trust. Now, I'm thinking of the passion of man to turn away from God. He that often, being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. I think the picture that Solomon has in mind was the oxen. And the farmer gets up to start his day's work of plowing, and there was no Massey Ferguson's, and there was no New Holland machines. He gets the yoke, the big wooden yoke. Long panel of wood that sits over the shoulders of the oxen. But when he tries to place it on the oxen, they turn away, they rebel. They don't want to be restricted. They don't want to lose control. They don't want anybody else pulling the reins. And that's the idea. They harden their neck. Is that you tonight? Is that your passion to turn away from God? Often reproved, what a privilege. Often reproved, oh, what patience God has. But at this very moment of the meeting, you turn away and you refuse his love and you reject his provision. You harden your neck. You don't want to lose control. I'll be my own man. I'll be my own woman, even if it means hell. Don't pressure me, Pastor. Don't like being pressurized. To trust Jesus Christ is the ultimate life decision. Don't harden your heart. The privilege, often reproved. The patience of God, often reproved. The passion, he hardens his neck. The punishment, here is God's message. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Suddenly destroyed without a chance of reprieve. Suddenly be destroyed without a solution or a remedy. And many preachers, I have to say, in this day and age, try to hide this aspect of God. They don't like dealing with God's wrath. It's uncomfortable. A God who loves us, yet at the very same time he hates sin and has a wrath against sin. But it has to be dealt with. That unquenchable fire. That everlasting destruction. That darkness and that torment. And it's not just found in one, but you'll find it in Isaiah 66. You'll find it in Daniel chapter 12. You'll find it in Matthew 18. You'll find it in Matthew 25. You'll find it in 1 Thessalonians 1. You'll find it in Revelation 14. You'll find it in Revelation 20. All throughout Scripture. If you go a bridge too far and you neglect the love and the mercy and the grace of God, God will stop speaking. God will leave you to your fate. The punishment. You maybe have been rejecting Christ tonight for the very last time. Maybe you've gone a bridge too far. Privilege, the patience, the passion of your stubbornness and hardness will lead to punishment. But there is a provision. Tonight there is a remedy. Jesus Christ, in this day of grace, he says that if you come by his blood that he shed at the cross of Calvary, if you come and you turn to him and you trust him with your heart and your life, he will save you. He will forgive you. He will pardon you. He will cleanse you. He will give you new life if you come and you trust him. In a sense, if I could use a sporting term, the ball is in your court. He comes and he offers forgiveness to those who will come. I suppose the only way of knowing if you have gone a bridge too far is that you would come and trust him. It's the only way of knowing. If you harden your neck, the chances are it's a possibility that you have already gone a bridge too far and there's no answer for you. The only way you know you haven't gone a bridge too far is to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I believe that you love me and you died for me. I'm surrendering my life to thee. I'm surrendering my future to thee. Do you remember the story of Rip Van Winkle? Fell asleep one day in a quiet spot on the banks of the Hudson River. And he didn't waken up for 20 years. He went to sleep. When he went to sleep, his king was King George III. He was a British subject. And whenever he woke up, according to the story, he no longer had a king, he had a president. And his president was George Washington. And he was now an American citizen. Because while he had been asleep, there'd been a revolution. While he'd been asleep and snored, oblivious to his surroundings, earth-shaking events had taken place. And in the story, when he wakens up, everything was new. And everything was different. Let me tell you something that I don't often talk about. See, I'm a Belfast boy. North Belfast. Harry McCloy might remember this because he was about our territory back in the day. Our next door neighbor was a policeman, Inspector Kyle. He had a difficult kind of life, Inspector Kyle. Quiet man, him and his wife, one boy. Such was the nature of the troubles back then that he rang his work before he left the house to tell them that he was leaving, to let them know he was coming. And then when he got to work, he rang home to his wife to tell her that he had arrived safely at work. He went to work a different path every single day. Such was the nature of life back then. One Sunday evening, I'd been at a meeting over in the other side of Belfast, in the missionary home that was over there. They had a meeting on a Sunday night. I was a young teenager. I would imagine it was maybe 1971, 1972, thereabouts. I was on my way home. I got a lift and they were letting me out of the car just at the bottom of our street, just below Inspector Kyle's house. Unknown to me and unknown to him, the IRA had paid a visit. They placed a bomb on his front doorstep and rang the doorbell. And as I was getting out of the car, the explosion went off. And I was thrown back into the car and hit my head on the other on the door of the opposite side. Explains a lot, doesn't it? Whenever I got up to the scene, we never thought of a second explosion. We never thought of what might happen. We find Inspector Kyle trying to climb the wall inside the house. The staircase had fallen away. The front of the house was gone. His wife had been up running a bath for him. And she had fallen into an airing cupboard. And with the explosion, the dust was choking her. And she couldn't get shouting that she was okay. And he was literally trying to climb the wall to get up to his wife. And we arrived, my dad, my older brother, and I arrived on the scene. And it was chaotic. Why do I tell you? I'll tell you why. About an hour later, I went into my bedroom that I shared with my younger brother, and he had slept the whole way through. Slept the whole way through the explosion. And we picked the glass from the window off David. And he never woke up. And the next morning, he woke up thinking he was going to school. And part of the house was missing. And our neighbor's house was gone. And he slept through an explosion. Listen. Some of you sleep through an explosion every time you come into this church. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The privilege often reproved. The patience of God often reproved. The passion, he hardeneth his neck. The punishment shall suddenly be destroyed without remedy. The provision, God has told me to tell you, you can come tonight. God has told me to tell you that you can still come if you repent and trust. And he's told me to tell you that it's possible to go a bridge too far. It's possible to go a bridge too far. Tonight, maybe you're asleep to your need. Maybe you're dead to God. And if you're not careful, you'll sleep right through the opportunity. And you'll waken up in a lost hell and in torment. Wake up tonight. Shake yourself tonight. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The privilege, the patience, the passion, the punishment. Praise God tonight. There's the provision. Jesus has died. And you can come. Soon, you'll go out into the car park, hit the cold air again. Another meeting over. But just maybe tonight, you'll go a bridge too far. May God help you to come tonight.